A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Brachas Nun Hei, Brachas 55a, pagination page 109. The Gemara here at the end of Brachas is discussing some of the most fascinating topics. Me'inyin le'inyin, from one topic to another. The Gemara here that we're choosing for today is the topic of Parnes Tov, a good leader. And the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Yechanan shlosha devarim machriz aleihem HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo." There are three topics that Hashem Himself calls out in advance that they're about to happen, and one of them is Parnes Tov. Counting up from the wide lines, we're about eight lines above the wide. In the beginning of the line, Parnes Tov Dichsiv. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Le, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimor. Re'ei Karosi V'Shem. Look, I have called in the name of Bezalel. Hashem calls in his name before he takes the position. The Gemara continues and says, Om Rab Yitzchok, Ein Ma'amidim Parnes and Alatzibur, Ela Im Kingdom Lochim Bezibur. You can't appoint a leader on the congregation, unless you consult with them. Nimlochim, one of the fascinating words in the language, that you consult with the other person. Perhaps the root word is melech, to make the other person a king, so to speak, to give them a sense of authority, that you're giving them veto power on your action. Nimlochim, to consult with them. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Re'u karasi kara Hashem b'shem. Look, Hashem has called in the name of Bezalel. What does that mean? Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, because Moshe and Hashem had a dialogue. Hashem had a dialogue with Moshe. What was the dialogue? Moshe, Hagun Alecha Bezalel. Hashem asked Moshe, is Bezalel fitting? Amalo Ribono Shalom Lefanecha, Hagun Lefanak Lokal Shekein. If Bezalel is fitting for you, surely it should be fitting for me. If it's your choice, it's good. Amalo afapike, nevertheless, I like your logic. That's trust. But lich emor lohem, go tell Klal Yisrael. Halach va'amar lohem li Yisrael. So Moshe did the same thing with Klal Yisrael. Hagan aleichem Bezalel. Do you agree that Bezalel should be the leader to build the Mishkan? Amru lo, they said to him, im lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lefanechu hagun. If Hashem and you consider him worthy, lefaneinu lekol shekein, so certainly we consider him worthy. And apparently that was considered approval. But you have to ask for their approval. What is the actual reason that you need to ask for approval? So we can suggest that besides whatever actual legal reasons, perhaps Hashem could dictate really who's in charge, to consult with them, to accept. But more than that, if the people accept a certain leader, then it's easier for them to listen to him. And that nimlochim, that consultation, we know, even in a human dimension, is very significant, by bringing the other person in on the decision so that they're a part of it. It's easier for them to cooperate later if they feel they were part of the decision. The middle of the line, two lines above the wide, Am Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Am Rab Yainasan. Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmeni continues on the top of Bezalel. Bezalel al Shem Chachmoso Nikra. His name reflects the fact that he was a wise person. B'shosh Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. When Hashem told Moshe, Lech Emor Lo LeBetzalel, go tell Bezalel, Asei Li Mishkan Aron V'Kelim. Go make a Mishkan, a building, a sanctuary, and also make an Aron V'Kelim, the Aron and the other vessels that will go therein. Halach Moshe V'Hofach. Moshe, when he taught it, did it the opposite way. He first taught the Kelim, Parshas Teruma, and then he taught the Mishkan itself, which is afterwards how the Mishkan is constructed with the beams. V'omar lo, and he told Bezalel, asei aron v'kelim u'mishkan. Go make the vessels and then the sanctuary. Omar lo Moshe Rabbeinu, and Bezalel responded, minhaga shel olam, that's not the way it's done. Adam bona bayis, v'achakach machnas l'socho kelim. First you build a building, and then you can bring things into it. V'ata omer asei li aron v'kelim u'mishkan v'kelim. And you're telling me, I'm sorry, asei li aron v'kelim u'mishkan, make for me an aron, kelim, and mishkan, that you're doing the vessels first, and then the building. Where am I going to, kelim shani, osehechen achnisein, where am I going to put the kelim once I'm done with them? Shemakach ha-melucha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Hashem said it like this, asei mishkan aron v'kelim, make the vessel, make the mishkan, and then the vessels. Amalo, so Moshe responded, Shema b'tzel kelo yisav yadato. Maybe you were in the shade of Hashem. That's b'tzel kel, in the shade of Hashem, but the name Bezalel, and that's how you knew you were correct. Even though Moshe taught him the vessels first, but Bezalel knew the mishkan has to come first. Now, basic question is, so why did Moshe switch the order when he taught it? A more sophisticated question is, Bezalel is building both the Mishkan and the Kelim before he puts everything up. So, very nice, he's talking about the Mishkan, but the Mishkan wasn't actually built, erected, until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, at which time there would be a place to put the Kelim. Until then, everything was in tents, storehouses, whatever, as part of the craftsmanship. What does he mean, don't I have to first make the Mishkan in order to then put in the Kelim? And what would seem correct here to suggest, number one, is that Hashem told Moshe what has to be done, the Mishkan, then the Kelim. And that's in fact the order that it has to be done. Moshe switched it because he wanted to make sure they would have in mind what this Mishkan is going to be used for. Sof ma'aseh b'machshava techila. The end of your goal has to be there in the beginning. But Bezalel knew that he's going to have to actually do the Mishkan first, because that's noeg sheba olam. You first have to build a building, and then you could put things into it. Regarding the more sophisticated question, what does it mean that he has to build the Mishkan first? Nothing got built, and the Kelim weren't put into the Mishkan anyway until a few months later. What's he talking about that he has to put the Kelim into a Mishkan? He has to first construct the beams, and then he can construct the Aron and the other vessels. And over here it would seem correct to suggest, as we're going to see in a moment, that besides the actual building of the Mishkan in a physical sense, there was a spiritual sense of building the Mishkan in holy realm, in spiritual energy. And Bezalel knew that the only way he could build these things correctly, these items correctly, is to, in the spiritual realm, to build the Mishkan first. We know a tradition, for example, that the third Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is building it with fire. It would seem that that means a spiritual energy. And once the third Beis HaMikdash is built in its entirety in spiritual energy, then we can go ahead and through that energy, through that authorization, we can build the Beis HaMikdash in our world, in its physical sense, in a very straightforward, smooth manner. Sometimes you find that mitzvahs go smoothly or endeavors go smoothly. It would seem that that's because in heaven, it's already a done deal. We saw that by Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa a few blad ago, that he said that if my tefillah is smooth, it means like in heaven, they're already prepared to accept that tefillah. Whereas if I find that I'm struggling with the tefillah, it means that in heaven, they're not ready for it. So Bezalel knew that the Mishkan items, the beams, had to be built first, crafted first. And then you craft the Aron V'Kelim. Because what he's doing during the crafting is creating the spiritual energy of the Mishkan. And a Mishkan has to go first, just the way you think about it and the way the energies work. And then you can place the energy of the Aron into the Mishkan. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said, Yodeya Yibetzal Tzarif Osiyo Shenivru Bohem B'Shemayim Va'aretz. Betzalel knew how to join the letters with which heaven and earth were created. Because what Betzalel is doing is building a place, a home, for Hashem. What Hashem did, originally in creation, was He created a home for the human being. So essentially the Mishkan is like a reciprocity. We're taking the resources we have to build a place that Hashem will be extra comfortable in our world, a Mishkan. That, by the way, would seem to be the explanation why the 39 malachas that are used to build the Mishkan are the ones that are forbidden to practice on Shabbos. Because the 39 malachas that were used to build the Mishkan is reflecting Hashem's creation of the world. So Hashem created the world behei, just with willing it into existence, with the word of His mouth. However we understand that. It's a spiritual energy. But when Bezalel built the Mishkan, which is a world for Hashem, so to speak, he paralleled Hashem's spiritual energies using the physical energies that properly parallel that. So when we want to rest from the physical energies that will parallel Hashem's spiritual creation of this world, just as Hashem rested from those energies, we want to rest from something physically similar to that. So the Torah tells us that we rest from the things that were used to create the Mishkan, because Bezalel knew the Tzarif Osios, to do everything in a way that paralleled Hashem's creation of the world. And the Mishkan was its physical parallel, reciprocating to Hashem, and therefore those are the malachas which are forbidden on Shabbos. Yeshu Koach, a Gemar Chasima Tova to everybody, an easy fast, be well.